Thank you for coming to this office. Happy Catholic New Year's! Today is the first Sunday of Advent, which means that we're actually starting marking an entire new year in terms of heaven, in terms of the heavenly liturgy. So I spoke yesterday about how there's an optional lectionary in the Liturgy of the Hours that not very many people use, but it's very cool. A lot of, you know, religious communities and things like that will use it. But anyway, the Liturgy of the Hours and the optional lectionary, together they form a two-year cycle of scripture and tradition readings. Now, I would have absolutely gone even very further, and I would have put even more varied readings, but I have checked, and my PDF copy does not include it doesn't include extra readings for Advent, so those should be the same as the first year or the book that you may have gotten, the book called the Liturgy of the Hours. But here's what the Church says in the document, the General Instruction on the Liturgy of the Hours, at the beginning of the Liturgy of the Hours book. During Advent, following an ancient tradition, passages are read from Isaiah in semi-continuous sequence, alternating in a two-year cycle. In addition, the Book of Ruth and certain prophecies of Micah are read. Since there are special readings from the 17th to the 24th of December, both dates included readings for the third week of Advent, which fall on these dates, are omitted. And you fellows, listen to me. This is going to be such an amazing season of grace. It's going to be an awesome time of spiritual wakefulness. It's going to be a time where there are so many graces offered because the Church has offered the season of Advent. Maybe tomorrow we can talk a little about liturgical seasons. But in any case, I don't know that they ever actually put together the alternating two-year cycle for Advent, where they would have had Isaiah readings from one side, 1 year, and on the other side. If they did, I couldn't find it. So we're just going to go with the ones that are in the book, and you'll start to see new things. You'll start to see new things at the beginning of ordinary time. You'll start to see different readings from scripture and tradition, from both our first and second reading, because of the optional lectionary later in the year when we have ordinary time back. And I think we might even have one at Christmas, because it says here that there is the Song of Songs, and 1 year during the octave of Christmas, or during the Christmas season, and Colossians another year. All right, so let us begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, help us to celebrate this office worthily, and to gain the great graces of your Church's official and public prayer. Make this a time of reflection on sacred scripture and on the word of God more generally. Let us pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions, either at the beginning or end of this. So his intentions are for December. We pray for this Jubilee year to strengthen our faith, helping us to recognize the risen Christ in our daily lives, and that it may transform us into pilgrims of Christian hope. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right. Come, let us worship the Lord. The King who is to come is our antiphon for the invitatory. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him. the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King who is to come. And we have perhaps many hymns for Advent. They're usually pretty good, especially if you're using iBreviary. O Word proceeding from on high, light coming from the Father's light, by birth you came to save the world when time's appointed course had run. Now come and fill our hearts with light, consume them in your love's bright heat, and when the herald's cry is heard, may all deceit be put to flight. So when at length you come as judge, to probe our hearts in thought and deed, to weigh the guilt for hidden sin, and crown the just for deeds well done, let not the nature of our sins detain us in the evil throng, but let us with the blessed share the life of heaven evermore. To you, O Christ, most loving King, and to the Father glory be, one with the Spirit Paraclete, from age to age, forevermore. Amen. And we're going to pray some special antiphons, and the antiphons during Advent are really so special. They really are awesome. This is our heavenly King. He comes with power and might to save the nations. Alleluia. This is Psalm 1, so the psalms that we pray actually remain constant for the most part. Blessed indeed is the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor lingers in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of scorners, but whose delight is the law of the Lord, and who ponders his law day and night. This is our heavenly King. He comes with power and might to save the nations. Alleluia. He is like a tree that is planted beside the flowing waters, that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves shall never fade, and all that he does shall prosper. Not so are the wicked, not so. This is our heavenly King. He comes with power and might to save the nations. Alleluia. For they, like widowed chaff, shall be driven away by the wind. When the wicked are judged, they shall not stand, nor find room among those who are just. For the Lord guards the way of the just, but the way of the wicked leads to doom. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Optional psalm prayer that gives us a sense of how we might pray through the psalm. Lord, you are the fullness of life, of holiness and joy, and of joy. Fill our days and nights with the love of your wisdom, that we may bear fruit in the beauty of holiness, like a tree watered by running streams. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. This is our heavenly King. He comes with power and might to save the nations. Alleluia. Antiphon 2. Daughter of Jerusalem, rejoice and be glad. Your King will come to you. Zion, do not fear. Your Savior hastens on his way. This is Psalm 2, the second psalm of the entire book of Psalms. Why this tumult among nations, among peoples, this useless murmuring? They arise, the kings of the earth. Princes plot against the Lord and his anointed. Come, let us break off their fetters. Come, let us cast off their yoke. Daughter of Jerusalem, rejoice and be glad. Your king will come to you. Zion, do not fear. Your Savior hastens on his way. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord is laughing them to scorn. Then he will speak in his anger. His rage will strike them with terror. It is I who have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Daughter of Jerusalem, rejoice and be glad. Your king will come to you. Zion, do not fear. Your Savior hastens on his way. I will announce the decree of the Lord. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. It is I who have begotten you this day. Ask, and I shall bequeath you the nations. Put the ends of the earth in your possession. With a rod of iron you will break them, shatter them like a potter's jar. Daughter of Jerusalem, rejoice and be glad. Your king will come to you. Zion, do not fear. Your Savior hastens on his way. Now, O kings, understand. Take warning, rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with awe, and trembling pay him your homage, lest he be angry and you perish, for suddenly his anger will blaze. Blessed are they who put their trust in God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, you gave the peoples of the world as the inheritance of your only Son, Jesus Christ. You crowned him as King of Zion, your holy city, and gave him your church to be his bride. As he proclaims the law of your eternal kingdom, may we serve him faithfully and so share his royal power forever. Make us feel like royal children in deed and in truth. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Daughter of Jerusalem, rejoice and be glad. Your king will come to you. Zion, do not fear. Your Savior hastens on his way. Antiphon 3. Let us cleanse our hearts for the coming of our great King, that we may be ready to welcome him. He is coming and will not delay. Psalm 3. How many are my foes, O Lord? How many are rising up against me? How many are saying about me, "There is no help for him in God"? But you, Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, who lift up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord. He answers from his holy mountain. Let us cleanse our hearts for the coming of our great King, that we may be ready to welcome him. He is coming and will not delay. I lie down to rest and I sleep. I wake, for the Lord upholds me. I will not fear even thousands of people who are ranged on every side against me. Arise, Lord, save me, my God, you who strike all my foes on the mouth, you who break the teeth of the wicked. O Lord of salvation, bless your people. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, you heard the cry of your Son when he was oppressed, and saved him from the sleep of death. Arise, Lord, help your church. Become and be our shield, so that we may hold up our heads and radiate the glory of the resurrection. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us cleanse our hearts for the coming of our great King, that we may be ready to welcome him. He is coming and will not delay. So now we have the verse introducing the lesson, which should be in the proper of seasons for a change this time. And we're going to read a lot of things from Isaiah during Advent. Lift up your heads and see, your redemption is now at hand. And this is a reading from the beginning of the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The reproof of the people is the caption. The vision which Isaiah, son of Amoz, had concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzzah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, For the Lord speaks, sons have I raised and reared, but they have disowned me. An ox knows its owner, and an ass its master's manger, but Israel does not know, my people has not understood. Ah, sinful nation, people laden with wickedness, evil race, corrupt children. They have forsaken the Lord, spurned the Holy One of Israel, apostatized. Where would you yet be struck, you that rebel again and again? The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no sound spot. Wound and welt and gaping gash, not drained or bandaged or eased with salve. Your country is waste, your cities burnt with fire, your land before your eyes, strangers devour, a waste like Sodom overthrown, and daughter Zion is left, like a hut in a vineyard, like a shed in a melon patch, like a city blockaded. Unless the Lord of armies had left us a scanty remnant, we had become as Sodom, and we should be like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, O princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. What care have I for the number of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of your whole burnt rams and fat of fatlings. In the blood of calves and lambs and goats I find no pleasure. When you come in to visit me, who asks these things of you? Trample my courts no more. Bring no more worthless offerings. Your incense is loathsome to me. Your new moon and Sabbaths, calling of assemblies, octaves with wickedness, these I cannot bear. Your new moons and festivals I totally detest. They weigh me down, I tire of the load. When you spread out your hands, I close my eyes to you. Though you pray the more, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Make justice your aim. Redress the wronged. Hear the orphan's plea. Defend the widow. Come now, let us set things straight, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. Responsory prayer. Wash yourselves clean. Banish evil from your hearts, away from my sight. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Cease to do evil and learn to do good. Seek always what is just. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. So that's a pretty intense way to begin the book of Isaiah, right? Second reading from the Catechetical Instruction by St. Cyril of Jerusalem, Bishop. And this reading from tradition is on the two comings of Christ, according to the caption. We do not preach only one coming of Christ, but a second as well, much more glorious than the first. The first coming was marked by patience. The second will bring the crown of a divine kingdom. In general, what relates to our Lord Jesus Christ has two aspects. There is a birth from God before the ages, and a birth from a virgin in the fullness of time. There is a hidden coming, like that of rain on fleece, and a coming before all eyes, still in the future. At the first coming, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. At his second coming, he will be clothed in light as in a garment. In the first coming, he endured the cross, despising the shame. In the second coming, he will be in glory, escorted by an army of angels. We look then beyond the first coming and await the second. At the first coming, we said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." At the second, we shall say it again, we shall go out with the angels to meet the Lord and cry out in adoration, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Savior will not come to be judged again, but to judge those by whom he was judged, and at his own judgment he was silent. Then he will address those who committed the outrages against him when he was crucified, when they crucified him, and remind them, You did these things, and I was silent. His first coming was to fulfill his plan of love, to teach men by gentle persuasion. This time, whether men like it or not, they will be subjects of his kingdom by necessity. Malachi, the prophet, speaks of the two comings. And the Lord, whom you seek, will come suddenly to his temple. That is one coming. Again, he says of another coming, Look, the Lord Almighty will come, and who will endure the day of his entry? Or who will stand in his sight? Because he comes like a refiner's fire, a fuller's herb, and he will sit refining and cleansing. These two comings are also referred to by Paul in his writing to Titus. The grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us to put aside impiety and worldly desires, and to live temperately, uprightly, and religiously in this present age, waiting for the joyful hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice how he speaks of a first coming, for which he gives thanks, and a second, the one we still await. This is why the faith we profess has been handed on to you in these words. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Our Lord Jesus Christ will therefore come again from heaven. He will come at the end of the world in glory at the last day, for there will be no end to this world, and the created world will be made anew. So what a powerful reading about the truth of Christ's first and second coming. Responsory prayer to that reading. Watching from afar, I see the power of God advancing and the whole earth enveloped in a cloud. Go out to meet him, crying, Tell us if you are the one who is to reign over the people of Israel. All peoples of the earth, all children of men, rich and poor alike, go out to meet him, crying, Shepherd of Israel, hear us, you who lead Joseph's flock, Joseph's race like a flock. Tell us if you are the one. Throw wide the gates, you princes. Let the King of Glory enter, who is to reign over the people of Israel. Watching from afar to people of Israel, and perhaps that is an option to have another prayer at the end. Certainly we can pray the Te Deum. Oh yes, here is the prayer. Watching from afar, I see the power of God advancing, and the whole earth enveloped in a cloud. Go out to meet him, crying, Tell us if you are the one who is to reign over the people of Israel. So that was a very special responsory prayer, with three or four different responsories instead of two. This is the normal prayer of praise for Sundays, solemnities, and feasts. Te Deum. You are God. We praise you. You are the Lord. We acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us to your, with your saints to glory everlasting. And this is the final prayer for the office. All-powerful God, increase our strength of will for doing good, that Christ may find an eager welcome at his coming and call us to his side in the kingdom of heaven, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. That ends the office proper. Like I said, tomorrow I think we can talk a little bit about the spiritual aspect of liturgical seasons, the spiritual impact of those graces that come from liturgical seasons and what they mean. They don't turn back to God. They don't understand what God wants from them in terms of true worship, in terms of justice, of peace. Have a good day. And remember to offer or to ask for the plenary indulgence, or at least a partial indulgence. You can at least get a partial indulgence just for coming and praying this office or part of this office to reflect upon scripture with us, and offer that for a soul in purgatory or something. That's my recommendation anyway.